Welcome to the podcast, Your Time with James Sweetman. This week's topic is all about self-confidence. You know, I think it's a theme that's going to run through many episodes on this podcast. And it's one of those themes that I work with clients on perhaps most frequently. Because if we think about it, most of us, if we are honest, we'd like to feel more self-confident in at least some scenarios. So in this podcast, as I say, probably the first of many on this topic, I want to share 7 practical tips, 7 ways that we can boost our self-confidence, you know, something that you can put into practice straight away. I'm also a great fan, and if we're looking for more of anything, it's useful to get curious around, well, what does that mean to us? So if we think of a topic like self-confidence, well, what does confidence mean to you? You know, I always believe that if we're looking for more of anything, we have to have a reference point for it. So you perhaps only can recognize that you're lacking self-confidence or your perception of lacking self-confidence in some situations because you know what confidence is. Otherwise, you wouldn't know when you don't have it. So there is that comparison piece. For me, if I look at the word confident, from the Latin, con fides, meaning with faith in self. And I often believe that when we feel we're lacking in self-confidence, it's often not the con fides bit that is the issue. It's often the self bit. I wrote blogs before titled, you know, putting the self back into self-confidence, because if I'm feeling I'm lacking in self-confidence in that moment, I'm usually putting more emphasis on what other people might be thinking about me, rather than what I want or what my own opinion is. So if we view it that way, it's like, okay, a little bit of faith in myself can feed us with faith in myself, and that my opinion and input and what it is I want is as valid as anyone else's input. Before I share the 7 tips with you about how to boost self-confidence, if this is an area that really interests you, I was proud to do a year or two ago now a self-confidence masterclass with an online educator called Tilio, T-I-L-L-E-O. You can check them out online, tilio.com. And my masterclass there is about 2.5 hours on this topic. You can get samples of it for free. And when I last checked, I think it was currently discounted down to €39 for the entire masterclass. So just something to check out. So jumping straight in, the first few tips around boosting self-confidence are things to stop doing, because sometimes we have to stop doing things before we can start doing something else. So this, I often phrase it as getting back up to neutral. You know, so if we stop doing certain behaviors or certain mindsets that's inhibiting us in this area, maybe we're creating the space or having the freedom for something new to come in. So the very first tip is around eliminating comparisons. So what do I mean by that? You know, the way we can easily put someone else on a pedestal. You know, I wish I could do that like them, or I wish I could be as confident as her. You know, from my experience, and this is an interesting one, in 15 years of working with clients and working with groups, I don't think I've come across anyone yet who doesn't run that imposter syndrome, you know, that lack of worthiness, that lack of self-confidence, whatever way we view it. I think it's part of the human condition. It stops us being raving egomaniacs. And even those people who perhaps have a demeanor of self-confidence, some of that is put on, you know, some of that is not maybe what it seems. So by all means, we can admire others. You know, that's what I would call modeling success. So if I admire someone and how they approach something, what can I learn from them, either through conversation or just through observation? But if I'm comparing myself to someone else, it's like they're on the pedestal and I'm putting the boot in. And the only comparison is really between where I am now and where I think I could be. Otherwise, we're comparing apples and oranges. Most of the time, what we're doing when we're comparing ourselves to others is we're comparing what we see on someone else's outside with how I'm feeling on the inside. And that's never a valid comparison, because we don't know how they're feeling on the inside. They might be shaking in their boots. And from my experience, they often are. So tip one is, let me pull out those comparisons, because if I'm putting someone on a pedestal, as I would say, I'm viewing myself as less than. And as I often say, it's about running our own race. We can admire others, but let me apply that to my own life. Let me not do unnecessary comparisons. The second tip is another one to be conscious of and maybe to do less of. And I think it really sits with the Irish psyche as well. And it's to stop brushing off compliments. Again, I don't know if it's a typically Irish thing, but you see it all the time. You know, someone gives you a compliment, you know, they might compliment you on, I don't know, your hair or a necklace or a bag or a new shirt or just how well you're looking. And oftentimes we just brush it away. You know, we don't accept it. And those little compliments, when they're sincere, meant, and of course we do know when someone is not speaking sincerely, when they're sincerely meant, they're little gifts, they're little building blocks in our levels of self-confidence, and maybe we should be gracious enough to receive them. You know, I often say that if someone was presenting you with a gift wrapped up with a bow and you don't take it from them, well, maybe that's not being very kind. You know, they're giving you a gift and you're not gracious enough to receive it. So the second tip is when you receive a compliment, and we often receive more than we acknowledge. So when I receive a compliment, let me just respond with a thank you and view that as the universe giving me a little bit of a nudge or a little bit of a wink, a little bit of a building block for boosting my own levels of self-esteem or self-confidence. Tip number three, and the last of the things to stop doing, is let's make a conscious effort to stop talking ourselves down or putting ourselves down. We'll all do it. I know I do it. I still do it. But when I've pondered this over recent years, I tend to do it as a way of either getting attention or playing the victim card, because, you know, we're all human. I tend to do that particularly when I get sick or I have cold or man flu or something. But I find it's a way of getting control. It's like I'll talk myself down and I'll speak about my own limitations so that if I'm doing it, I'm more in control of it. I'll do it before anyone else does it. You know, we all have that voice in our head, you know, that voice that screeches away, that gremlin voice, the one that says, oh, you're no good at this. This will be a failure. Why will people show up? Why will people bother listening to this podcast? I don't know. It might still be going on. I often think that if that voice in our head was extrapolated out and turned into a manager or a boss, you know, that person wouldn't be just up for being a bully. I think they might be arrested for, I don't know, abuse, because we do speak about ourselves so harshly. And if we become aware of that, maybe we can just stop doing it. So a little recap on those first three tips, the things to be aware of and to lean out of, as it were. Let's eliminate comparisons. Let's take the compliments when they come in, you know, accept them generously. So I'm not brushing away compliments. And then that last one, let's be a little bit kinder in terms of how we speak about ourselves in our own minds. You know, let me not talk myself down unnecessarily. So we've looked at three things to stop doing or do less of. Now let's look at building upon that. So the fourth tip is around acknowledging our strengths. Now this is something that we can apply in a few different contexts. You know, interestingly, if I'm working with a client, helping them prepare for interview, one of the things we often start with is acknowledging your strengths. Because if you think about it at interview, you're looking for the interviewers to know your strengths, and how the hell will they know them if you don't know them? But now we're looking at strengths, you know, in this context from a building block of self-confidence perspective. If we feel we're lacking in self-confidence, we're often focused on our weaknesses. And this is about just being as honest as we are modest, really, because we'll all do things well every day, but maybe we're in the habit of not acknowledging them. So if we're looking at acknowledging our strengths, that's not about, you know, going around and making things up. It's just acknowledging maybe those things that we do well every day, simple things that we can be proud of. One of my favorite definitions of strengths, when I put my leadership or authentic leadership hat on, is strengths are those activities that we're involved in that make us feel strong on the inside. Or they can often be things that we get complimented on, you know, because other people will tend to notice our strengths before we notice them. But for me, acknowledging our strengths is one of the main roots of putting the self back into self-confidence. So if you're listening to this now, press pause just for a minute and take 10 seconds out, 20 seconds, just to acknowledge for yourself three or four strengths, things that you do well every day, things that you've been complimented on for, or just those activities that make you feel strong on the inside. An area that I'm fascinated by is the whole mind-body connection. And I wanted to include one of the tips here, which is not a thinking tip, it's like a physical or physiology tip. And that's around breathing. So if you think about how we breathe when we're stressed, nervous, frustrated, overwhelmed, anxious, it's a high fast breath, you know, high in our chest. The fight or flight, the defense mechanism, natural response has kicked in, and the body is doing several things to defend itself. So one of the things that we can do more purposefully is to breathe more consciously. You know, we breathe in, we breathe out, we inspire ourselves when we breathe in, you know, the same root as the word. And oftentimes the body has its innate wisdom. You know, if you're stressed with something or nervous about something, you know, we'll often say, or maybe someone will say to us, you know, take a deep breath and give it your best shot. And that's really what we're talking about here, but we're looking to do it more purposefully. One of the breathing techniques that I found exceptionally useful for myself, particularly, say, if I'm going on stage to do a talk or if I'm doing something that's outside of my comfort zone, I want to take a deep breath in, but I'll do it in two stages. So I'll take a two-staged in breath. So it's like in again, and then exhale. The two-staged in breath is interesting because if I'm doing something differently, and I'm doing it purposefully, it gives me a sense of control. So I'm not just breathing normal. I'm not even just taking a deep breath in. I'm taking a two-staged in-breath. And I say to myself, particularly for the second in-breath, that this is a way for me to resource myself. So as you listen into this, wherever you are, out for a walk, great if you're in the fresh air or if you're in your car, just again, practice it. Take a two-staged in-breath. So it's like in again, and then exhale. And just notice how that feels on the inside. Because one of the things we're doing is we're using the lower part of our lungs, and more conscious breathing has many, many benefits. But paradoxically, it has the benefits of oxygenating the blood, so it makes us more alert, but it also calms us down. And I think that's a great tip. It's one that I go back to time and time again when I'm looking for maybe what I phrase a little bit of triage coaching, you know, something immediate that I can do. And that two-staged in-breath is something that I do fairly frequently. The next tip is one that I could probably expand into at least one full podcast, and I might do that in the future, but it's around positive visualization. Now, this is a term that we usually associate with sports people, you know, the rugby free kick, the penalty shoot in a soccer match, the tennis serve. You know, we can picture sports stars visualizing how they want to approach a certain scenario so that they're pre-planning what they will do when that situation, when they find themselves in that situation. But the irony is we'll all do visualization, but we often do it negatively, which is known as worry. You know, if you think about it, excitement is positive anticipation and worry is negative anticipation. Most of the time we're leaning into worry more so than we are excitement. And worry is part of the human psyche. We all do it. It's part of our self-protection. You know, it's the same voice that says, hurry up and cross that street. The car is coming quicker than you think. So we can't necessarily switch it off, but we can learn to dance with it. So if we're looking at boosting self-confidence, one of the great things we can try out is visualizing how we want to approach a scenario. So there might be a specific event, there might be a specific circumstance that you will find yourself in, and maybe think about how you would like to show up, how you would like to engage with people. It's what I call creating the blueprint, you know, creating the design. So nothing new was ever created without thinking about it first. One of the great questions that I tie into this is around who do you want to be in this situation? So you might know, but I don't want to be nervous. I don't want to be anxious. I don't want to be lacking in self-confidence. How do I want to be in this scenario? So my focus is on what I want, not what it is I don't want. And as I say, we visualize anyway, but sometimes we can do it a bit more constructively and we can visualize positively, not just the other side of it, which is the habit of worrying. So we're almost there. The last tip I want to share with you is around setting yourself a little goal or a little target. For anything that falls under the umbrella heading of soft skills, you know, be it self-confidence, be it time management, be it leadership, you know, whatever the topic is, if I'm looking for more of something, it is about progression in a direction. So if I'm looking to boost my levels of self-confidence, let me identify a scenario that, yes, maybe I'll pre-plan or visualize how I want to show up differently, but let me set myself a little goal or a little target. You know, let me identify something that for me will be evidence of my progression in the direction that I want to go. And that can be the smallest thing. You know, I often think if we set ourselves a little target and we achieve it, it's a great building block for more to come on top of it. What this last little tip does for us, it allows us to start building up some evidence. So if I can identify something, I work towards it, I achieve it, you know, I've earned sort of the right then to feel confidence in myself and my own abilities. Otherwise, it can be a little bit of wishful thinking. It's often that I need those classroom type experiences, you know, in the classroom of life. You know, I set myself a target to do something, I do it. Now I'm the sort of person who can show up in that way, or, you know, I've got a sense of achievement that goes with it. So there's the 7 tips. I hope you found them useful, practical, relatable. Quick recap. The first few were around doing less of certain things. Let me eliminate comparisons. You know, I'm not putting someone else on a pedestal and putting the boot into my own sense of empowerment or well-being, because the only comparison that's valid is between where I am now and where I would wish to be. The second one was around accepting compliments, not to brush them off, to see compliments as little building blocks in our own levels of self-confidence. The third one, to stop talking ourselves down, you know, be alert to that harsh voice in our heads and speak about ourselves in a more honest way. You know, it's often recalibrating that balance between honesty and modesty. Then we had a few additional things we could do. Tip number 4 was to acknowledge our strengths, you know, those things that we do well regularly and maybe don't appreciate within ourselves. Tip number 5 was that two-staged in-breath as a way of resourcing ourselves. So it's not all about the mind. We bring the body into it, feeling into it. And of course, if you think about it, that sense of confidence is often a feeling in our own chest, you know, on the inside where we're standing tall. Let me breathe more purposely. It's like I'm fueling that level of confidence on the inside. Tip number 6, the one that's often associated with sports people, it's where I'm visualizing positively, not negatively, which is worry. I'm visualizing positively in terms of how I want to show up, and then building on that, the last little tip, let me identify a goal or a target for myself, something that I can set as a milestone, so that on the achievement of it, I will then have earned and deserved the right to gather that evidence and to feel more self-confident. You know, I often think it's funny when I share these tips, there is the old piece around Dr. Heal Thyself. And, you know, although I speak a lot on the topic of confidence, it's still an area that I have to work on myself. And I think that's part of being human. You know, it's about acknowledging our humanness, acknowledging that there are times when we feel worried or scared or anxious, and just to sit in it. But if we have a few practical things that we can try out, it gives us a greater sense of control. And I often think if I feel I'm a little bit more in control of at least myself, maybe that is the foundation for self-confidence as well. So thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed this podcast, feel free to pass it on to friends or colleagues or people you might find who might find it useful. Please subscribe as well, or if you'd like to make a review, terrific. More information about me, James Sweetman, is available on my website, jamessweetman.com. And of course, I'm contactable across the different social media platforms. So until next time.